We're in Jeremiah 7, if you want to turn in your Bibles, please. Jeremiah 7, thank you for being God's house, God's day. What a blessing to be able to open His Word together and just pray that God will use it in our hearts. Amen. So here in Jeremiah 7, God is again, which He often had to do through His prophets, rebuking His people Israel. And this time it is relative to obedience. Notice verse 21 of Jeremiah 7. We'll go down through verse 28. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them, yet they hearkened not unto me. Nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. So I'm going to take my title from verse 23, Obey My Voice. Let's pray. Dear Lord, how we love you and how we again thank you for the privilege of assembling and opening your precious and preserved word together. Now may the Holy Spirit take it and apply it to our hearts individually today. And Lord, may we be responsive. I pray that Jesus Christ would be glorified and magnified in our service. And it's in his name that we ask these things. Amen. So God here speaking to his people. At this point in Jeremiah, chronologically speaking, Israel has already been taken captive. Judah is about to be taken captive by Babylon. And God giving them yet a final warning about obedience. You know, as you study through the history of Israel, it was always about obedience. Always. And yet, they always wanted to come up with a substitute for obedience, didn't they? And yet, here we are, literally millennium later, and we as Christians often try to do the same and come up with substitutes for obedience. Come up with other things that we offer God, if you will, sacrifices, as he mentions here, to try to, I don't know, appease God. And God says here, right to them in verse 22, I spake not unto them concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. In other words, the priority has never been sacrifices. It's always been obedience. Jesus came on the scene centuries later, and you have the Pharisees and the scribes. They were supposedly all about obedience, but the problem was they were commanding that the people obey what they had come up with rather than the Word of God. They had added so much to the Word of God that the people couldn't even keep up with all the little jots and tittles that they had added. And so bringing that to you and me, God is not interested in our sacrifices if we're not willing to obey. God is not interested in our service if we're not willing to obey. Service and sacrifices do not undo disobedience, is the point. Obedience is always the key. Now, he said, if you go to 1 Samuel 15, he said the same thing to Saul. Remember when Saul lost his kingship? We studied through Saul in Sunday school. probably a year ago or so. And here in 1 Kings 15, verse 22, God's speaking to Saul through Samuel. And look what he says, 1 Samuel 15, 22. "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Now, this was centuries earlier. God said the same thing to Saul. Because remember, Saul tried to justify his disobedience by saying, "Yes, but we saved all of these things that we were told to destroy so that we could offer them unto the God as a sacrifice." And that's when God said, "You disobeyed, you're going to lose your kingdom." To obey is better than sacrifice. Obedience is what matters, he says. And notice in our passage, Jeremiah 7:23, "But this thing commanded I them." This is the thing that I've said from the start, from when Moses was given the law. This is what I've always said. Obey my voice. Obey. You know, the wind and the seas obey the Lord. Amen. Jesus can speak and change the weather. Even the unclean spirits obeyed Jesus Christ, didn't they? When he was on earth, he just told them what to do. They had to do it. His entire animal kingdom obeys. But many Christians won't. Think about that. His blood-bought children won't obey when every other part of his creation will. Now, the unsaved, they're the unsaved. They're children of the devil. Of course, they're not going to obey God. But when God's own children won't obey, it's a different story. Look at 1 Peter 1, verse 13, if you would. 1 Peter 1:13. If you're a child of God today, there's a particular kind of child God is looking for to please him. 1 Peter 1:13. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Amen. Look at this next passage. "As obedient children." As obedient children. This is what God wants. He wants obedient children. Every parent wants the same thing, don't they? Obedient children. God is your father. If you're a Christian, he wants obedient children. Jesus in the upper room said to his disciples, John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you really love me, gentlemen, he's speaking to them, but of course speaking to us through the word of God. If you really do love me, it's not about worship teams. It's not about the singing. It's not about a sacrifice. If you really love me, keep my commandments. If you really love me, obey. Then we get to toward the end of the New Testament, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." It's never been different. This has always been God's will. If you go way back to Exodus 19, I know we preached through here recently, but Exodus 19, God, in speaking to his people Israel here and talking about his covenant, notice he says, Exodus 19, verse 5. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people." You know, we get to the New Testament, you know what God calls us? A peculiar people, zealous of good works in Titus chapter 2. What makes us peculiar, God says, is obedience. Obedience to his word. If we will obey his word, God, of course, promises blessings. Back in our passage, Jeremiah 7, verse 23, he says, that it may be well unto you. Now, this is not prosperity theology, which we just debunked in Sunday school. This is different. This is God saying that he will pour out more blessings upon us if we will obey his word. It's always been true. Matthew 6:33, one of the songs that we sing says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. That's obedience. And then what? Then all these things should be added unto you. And before that, it says, take no thought of what you're going to wear, all these other things, what you're going to eat. Put God first and seek his righteousness. Obey him and let him take care of the rest. But we want it to be the other way around. It's always about obedience. So, back in our passage then, God outlines for us the path that we take and end up on when we choose disobedience in any area. You know, we might be serving, but are we speaking evil of anyone? That's disobedience. We might be giving to others, but are we harboring bitterness or unforgiveness? That's disobedience. We might be sacrificing in one area, but are we discontent? That's disobedience. Maybe we're faithful to church, but are we witnessing to the lost? If we're not, that's disobedience. You see how that works? You can't sit on the fence here. And so it says in verse 24, they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear. This is a process that we go through when we choose disobedience. And that's where it begins. Hearken not. Hearken not to the word. Proverbs 28:9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. What happens is when we begin to not hearken to the word of God, it hinders our prayer life. Isaiah 63 says they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. When we disobey, we quench the Spirit of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Spirit of God. Disobedience grieves God. And the Holy Spirit is God, and he lives in us. So we start by hearkening not. Then verse 24, what? Walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart. Disobedience always leads us in the wrong direction, following our thoughts, our ideas, rather than following God. That's always what happens next. Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God is not interested in us following the counsels and the imaginations of our own heart. He's interested in us following him. Because our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We can't follow it. But if we're in disobedience, that's what we're going to follow. We're going to follow our own heart, our own thoughts, our own imaginations, rather than God. And where does that lead to? Verse 24, backward and not forward. Anybody ever heard the word backsliding? It's from the Bible, by the way. Jeremiah chapter 2. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Jeremiah 2:19. And thy backslidings shall reprove thee. When Christians choose disobedience, it leads to following their own way. And with God, you're never neutral. You're either moving forward or you're moving backward. It's one or the other. And if you're living in disobedience, you're going backward. Is it God's will that we go backward? Of course not. He wants us to just keep growing and being more like Jesus. Amen? Walk as he walked and being conformed to the image of his son. But this is where disobedience leads. Verse 25, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day I have sent unto you all my servants the prophets. I just kept sending them and sending them with my word, warning, warning. And what? They wouldn't listen, verse 26, yet they hearken not. And as a Christian is backsliding because they've chosen disobedience in a certain area, when they hear the word of God, it just doesn't have the same effect as when they're in obedience. They just really aren't hearing it. They're not listening. Part of that's because the Holy Spirit's been quenched and grieved. And part of it is because they really don't want to hear it. That's the truth of it. When you're in disobedience, you don't want to hear the word of God because it's convicting. I'm talking about if you go to a Bible-believing church. If you can go to churches where it'll make you feel good, that's fine. And sometimes that's what they do instead. I'm tired of hearing the Bible. I'd rather go somewhere where they give me something that makes me feel really good. And so they do. It's not going to help their spiritual walk, but that's what they do. But the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Romans 10:17. This book is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. But when a Christian is backsliding, despite hearing the word along the way, they're not hearing it. It says they hearken not. But, verse 26, hardened their neck. So we're talking a process here. What happens? Counsels and imaginations of their evil heart. In other words, I'm going to go my way. I'm going to do what I think is right. I'm going to follow my ideas and imaginations. Then I'm going to go backwards and what? Harden my neck. That's called pride. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. God's not going to tell me what to do. Always pride ends up in the mix. The Bible says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy, in Proverbs 29:1. So the hardening of the neck comes next. And then what? Verse 27, therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt call unto them, but they will not answer thee. He's warning Jeremiah in advance. Listen, Jeremiah, you're one of my prophets. I'm going to send you to give them this final warning before Nebuchadnezzar comes and takes them away. I'm telling you in advance, they're not going to listen. But you still need to obey and tell them what I have to say. And they'll have no excuse afterward to say, oh, but we didn't know. They did know. God told them over and over again. And he sent Jeremiah this last time to say, this is it. Obey my voice. Verse 28, but thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. My friend, if Christians backslide far enough, even when God sends his chastisement, sometimes they don't respond properly. Now, David did, praise God. He got chastised. Losing a child, that's some pretty heavy chastisement. But how did he respond? He responded with repentance, with restoration, didn't he? Sometimes Christians, God sends that first wave of chastisement and they just get harder. They get angrier at God. And they don't receive that correction. You know, we've all been there as parents where, you know, we just didn't use the rod hard enough that first time, and it didn't work. They aren't broken. And this is what God's after. He's after us getting broken. Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent, in Revelation 3:19. In other words, I will send the chastisement. Now it's your job to repent. And it's your job to get right. It's your job to stop disobeying, start obeying. And then the last thing, verse 28, truth is perished. If you've ever met a Christian who isn't in the Word anymore, who really doesn't seem to understand the Word like they used to, you're meeting a Christian who has followed this path. Because our understanding of the Word of God is always conditional upon where we stand with God's Holy Spirit. He's the author, he's the interpreter. And if he is grieved, then our ability to comprehend what he has to say to us is diminished, isn't it? Because he's the one that helps us to understand. And so truth goes out the window. It's perished, he said. It's cut off from their mouth. And this is the final step, is the Bible doesn't really speak to them anymore like it used to. And Jesus, if you go to John 7:17, Jesus said that our understanding of God's word is conditional upon our obedience. Imagine that. John 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So that's an if then statement, isn't it? The if is if you will do it, in other words, obey, and the then is then you'll know of the doctrine. But first has to come the doing. And then while you're in John, look at 14:24. This is the verse I preached on in the revival. It says, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. We talk a lot about loving Jesus, but Jesus says, if we're living in disobedience, we're actually not loving Jesus. We're doing the opposite. And the good news is you don't have to think that this is some thing that's unreachable, knowing where there's disobedience in your life, because God lives in you. And if you're willing, like David, to come to God and say to God, search me and know my heart, Psalm 139:23, try me, know my thoughts. Lord, see if there be any wicked way in me. If you're willing to pray that prayer, do you think God will answer it? Of course he will. He put it in there. And he's waiting for you to ask those questions so that he can now use this book to, sure enough, show you the areas that need dealt to, the areas of disobedience. God said, I'm not interested in, he said, just eat those sacrifices. Just go ahead and eat them because I don't want them. I want what I've always said I wanted, obedience. So don't even bother burning those poor innocent animals. Just eat them. Because I'm not going to accept your sacrifice if you're living in disobedience. That's true for you and me too. Obey my voice is always what God's wanted. If we choose to go to the path of disobedience, what happens? Counsels, imaginations of their own heart. Backward and not forward. Hardening of the neck. Not receiving correction. Truth has perished. We don't want to go down that path. So let's not. Let's instead be open and honest and say, Lord, show me. Is there an area in my life where I'm living in disobedience? You might already know there is. But it never hurts to keep asking. Let God show you, and he will. And of course, our response needs to be David's response. Amen. Lord, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me and help me to obey you. He said, this is what I've wanted from the start for all of my children. Israel, my children. The church, my children. Obey my voice. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your precious word. It is so clear in this area of obedience. And I pray, Lord, that we would be constantly refreshing in our own minds your commandments. And Lord, ensuring that we are obeying each one. And allowing the Holy Spirit to point out areas where we are not, that we might get right with you. And walk close to you and be in commune with the Holy Spirit of God. So have your will and way in our hearts in this invitation time. And Lord, if there's someone here not born again, may they realize Jesus died and rose again, that they may be born again and be forgiven. The rest of us, may we be responsive to God's Holy Spirit.